All right, guys, welcome back. Believe in Rams, episode 159. Jake Ellenbogen here. Join me as always is my buddy, my co-host, my partner over here. It is Cameron Lynch, your former Rams linebacker. And today we're not talking about necessarily off-ball linebackers, Cam, but we're getting a little closer to that position here. We're talking about edge defenders. If you guys were ready for or looking for a podcast, a Rams podcast that's just going to talk about edge defenders the entire time in this draft and you know, you come away wanting to know everything about this class. Well, lucky for you, you've stumbled across the Edge Defender podcast. Essentially, we have all sorts of podcast titles. But,
Run the Damn Ball podcast. Now it's the Edge Defender podcast. Let's go.
The Analogy podcast. I'm sure we'll have an analogy thrown in there at some point. It's not Believe in Rams without that. But be sure to like, subscribe, comment, rate, and review. Always like to throw that out there. And we have a bet. Online.ag ad read. Bet Online remains your number one source for all your college basketball betting this season. Get analysis of every play, prop, and point at Bet Online. You'll find the latest odds, bracket contests, team matchups, and game trends at Bet Online. Updated odds for everything from live games, the conference championships, right through the Final Four and championship game. BetOnline is your college basketball headquarters this season. Head on over to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. So, Cam, we always start with the burning question. And this burning question, I'm not even going to lie to you. It's totally a segue into the rest of our show today. But will the Rams select an edge defender with their first pick, the number 36th pick of the draft?
Most definitely. It got to, I think, just from our other podcast, Jake, our other episodes, we talk about a concept. Happy wife, happy life. Happy Aaron Donald, happy Rams defense. I mean, when Aaron Donald is moving, whenever he's clicking on every cylinder, he's the best. He's the best player in the league. He's a walking Hall of Famer. So what do? You build around that Hall of Famer. I think we talked about it before. Leonard Floyd, our heart and soul, like, man, like, you know, praying for him in another healthy season next year. But that's avoiding the defense. So we talk about Jalen Ramsey, another person on the back end who benefits from people like Aaron Donald. So I think what we do to balance that, we call it balance, Jake, have someone that can feed the quarterback to Aaron Donald. Going back to the concept of happy wife, happy life, happy Aaron Donald, happy Rams defense, have someone on the edge that can force the quarterback to go Aaron's way. He gets sacks. He's Defensive Player of the Year. And everyone's happy, Jake. Everyone's happy. And I think we talked about on our last podcast too, Jake, is getting Matthew Stafford the ball back. And if Matthew Stafford's not available, the backup quarterback the ball back to score touchdowns. That's what the Rams need. We need turnovers and we need to score some points. And so we need someone who can do that. The Rams did a great job last year of sacking the quarterback. We need turnovers. We need to increase that number. And then also too, Aaron Donald, you know, his time is ticking. Father time is a thing, not for LeBron James, but for Aaron Donald, right? So we need someone who can also carry the flame, right? Carry the torch once Aaron is done. So those are my thoughts on the draft. Jake, we'd love to hear yours as well.
No, I'm with you 100%. Last year, you know, the Rams, surprisingly, believe it or not, they were tied for sixth in the NFL with the New York Giants in pass rush win rate. But big thing here, Leonard Floyd, we talked about it. Even though those games weren't great at the end of the year, Leonard Floyd was. He was a top six pass rusher when you look in terms of, you know, from a pressure standpoint, right? So, you know, I think when you look at a guy like, you know, Leonard Floyd and you leave him just on his lonesome, you don't trade him, you don't bring him back, he's just gone. You didn't get any assets for him, and now you got to replace him because Leonard Floyd doesn't just rush the passer. He also does a great job of setting the edge, which is something I think the Rams have always really needed up until Leonard Floyd got there, and he did a damn good job of it. Mm-hmm. So this, if I have one goal in mind, this podcast, Cam, I hear the term edge rusher more than anything, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's an edge rusher. But if I can leave you guys with one thing, from here on out, I want to get you guys to stop calling every pass rusher, every outside linebacker, defensive end, guys that play on the edge, an edge rusher, and lean more towards edge defender. Because, Cam, you know, stopping the run, having a true run stopper that can set the edge, that can push the running game inside, right, can contain the edge and push, you know, allow guys to eat in the trenches like Donald. Anyone that can do that, when you have that that run defensive ability and the pass rush ability, you're arguably talking about things that are just as important as the other.
Yeah, that's defense 101, Jake, right? Stop the run. That's, of course, like, don't let them score touchdowns. That's really the number one thing, right? Is whoever scores the most touchdowns wins the game. That's the goal of football. But when it comes to defense specifically, of course, don't allow the opponent to score or they can't win. That's number one. And number two is stop the run. All right. We talk about this podcast being Run the Damn Ball podcast. That's just the most important thing in football is being able to run the football and stop the run. So you talked about making sure that you kind of edge defender, right? Setting that edge. I like to call it anchor. Having someone keep the anchor. If someone's ever been on a boat, you know, listening to this podcast before, Jake, I know you're in upstate New York. I know they got some beautiful, you know, it's cold right now, but people do get on the water. And when they drop that anchor, that boat doesn't move. The boat doesn't move. And that's the same concept for that defensive line is the goal is for the defensive line not to move, not to recede anything when it comes to the line of scrimmage. So I feel you. Edge defenders, that's the new term there.
Absolutely. I mean, that has to be the term. Now, can guys be edge rushers? Yes. If you rush the passer and you come off the edge, you're an edge rusher. Congrats, you know? But edge defender, I feel like, is a better term because it's what you're looking for. You're looking for a guy that is a just all-around guy, can stop the run, can rush the passer. And keep in mind, you know, for you watching at home, stopping the run, setting the edge, that's not the only thing they do. Block deconstruction is a big thing too. You know, I see oftentimes people be like, eh, his tape wasn't that great. I'm like, yeah, he's in his assignment. He's playing contain. It's not going to look like, you know,
it's not
amazing.
Sexy.
Yeah. It's not, no, it's not a sexy way to play at all, but it's how you win, you know, football games. Right.
Yeah.
So with that said, do you mind if I start?
Yeah, of course. Jump in.
All right. So, because I thought it was a good segue to go into this guy, because speaking of a guy that didn't play in the sexiest defense, I am going to go with Will McDonald to the shock of probably nobody listening. I love Will McDonald. I've made it very obvious that I love this guy at 36 overall for the Rams. I think if you're looking for a guy with length, very similar to Leonard Floyd, a guy that can defend the run, has really good bend off the edge, athletic, then you're talking about a guy like Will McDonald IV out of Iowa State. Look, Matt Campbell is fantastic. You know, his defense has revolutionized how to stop a Big 12 offense. It is not easy, but I don't know what the hell he was thinking, because he had a 239-pound edge defender playing in the 3-4 technique.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, that's mind blowing. That's mind blowing.
I don't know what to do, Cam. Like, when I was watching the tape, I'm like, no wonder why. Because honestly, if he plays, you know, even just like from a wide nine perspective, if he's playing that throughout his career and only that, he's going in the first round. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. But this is an opportunity here because the guy was played out of position for the majority of his college career. He still, though, has those reps where they put him out on the edge and just let him hunt.
Yeah.
And it's scary. Like, he's really good.
Yeah.
So I think he's a first-round caliber talent. Cam, I showed you you know, my spreadsheet. I have him as the number two overall edge defender in this class. Now, the consensus would say I'm way too high on him, but screw the consensus. That's what I think.
Yeah, no, Jake, when you sent me your list, I was like, dang it, I got to rearrange my list now because, you know, just the way he plays. I was watching some of his tape and I heard one of the announcers say, yeah, he's leading the Big 12 in sacks at the moment, right? And so whenever you're leading a conference in sacks, like, you're that guy. You know, you're that guy. You can rush the quarterback. Every coordinator is like, hey, we need to make sure we chip protect this person. We slide our protection to this guy. And that's what we need, because when you take this to the next level in the NFL, they're going to be sliding to Aaron. They're not going to be sliding to Will. And the goal for them is to say, hey, we need to make sure we double team Aaron and we get someone also to help with Will. And therefore, that frees up, that forces one-on-ones with the other defensive linemen. And therefore, you can find some success. So I'm right there with you with Will. I mentioned just kind of my notes here. He has a great motor. He does great getting around the edges, right? He has great bend. I think that's extremely important. You know, when I think about bend, I think about Robert Quinn. Anytime I think about a defensive yes. end bending, I think about Robert Quinn, right? We used to call Robert Gumby. He's just elastic. He can move and be everywhere all at once, right? And so I like that for Will. So since you picked him for your second round, I put him in my third round, right? But for my second round, 36th overall, for the Rams, I like Isaiah McGuire out of Missouri. The reason why I say that is because number one, he's playing in the SEC, so he's seeing the best tackles pretty much in the country, a week in, week out. He's seeing the best running backs, quarterbacks and running backs week in and week out. So he's in the trenches, Jake. He's in the trenches. And so he's seen that. Another thing why I like about Isaiah McGuire is he's a team captain. Being a team captain at the defensive end spot, that's kind of tough to do unless you're that guy, right? Unless you're affecting the quarterback, unless you're getting sacks, it's really tough to be a captain. And I think we talked about this in our podcast is, that's what the Rams need right now. Bobby Wagner's not there. Jalen Ramsey's not there. And so it's going to be a fresh and a clean slate. So if you're a rookie coming in, the fact that you're a leader, that speaks volumes, Jake. So I kind of give him an extra mark because he's gone over and beyond and is a captain, right? A lot of times when like families or whatever it is, like they have their kid in sport, the fact that like if their son or daughter is a captain or a leader on that team, like your parents like, yeah, woo, he's 7, he's leading this team or she's leading this team. And like, that's what I want. And so that doesn't change. You know, when you get to the pros, you want people leading on and off the field and more so, Jake, off the field, because the off the field work, it affects your on the field work. So if you know that a guy is leading off the field in the community, handling his business with his family, he's going to do the same thing and he's going to affect other people. And that's what I want. So I like the Isaiah McGuire, and he's Jake. He's 6'4", 275, right? We talked about Hoyt, you know, in that same area, probably putting a little bit more weight or shedding some weight. I love that range to be able to set the edge and be the anchor. I know we talked about Will McDonald, him being, you know, 230 pounds, Jake. That's linebacker weight. So I would say just going back to Will, probably packing on some pounds there, maybe 10 pounds of muscle. Maybe some other stuff too, right? Because when those guards and those tackles come around, hey, that 230 pounds, we call it no white t-shirts in the club. So a lot of times you get thrown out the club because you got a white t-shirt on. So we don't want Will to get thrown out the club. So I would like to see more weight on him. But those are my thoughts, Jake, on the second round there. Will McDonald will go for my third round, but I can always chat about another player. But I'm curious about your thoughts, even your thoughts on Isaiah McGuire as well.
Well, he's definitely one of the guys I drafted because I've been pounding the stump for him. Shocker, we're both on the same page here. I have him going 77th overall, but I had him in the third round. Let's go back to McDonald, and I'll give you my thoughts on McGuire. Not too much because, I mean, I kind of spoiled the pick, but, you know, we'll get to that when we do. So Will McDonald, 15.7 pass rush win rate. I need to add some context there. Because that is considering he's been playing out of position, right? I mean, he gets those edge reps, right? But that 15.7, considering he's taken on double teams with guards and, you know, maybe even a center in there, tackles, going up against, you know, these tough guys. I mean, I think he, you know, you need to put more respect on his name, right? Mm-hmm. And then the 5.6% run stop rate, that's also somewhat misleading because you have a 239-pounder going against guards and tackles literally being double teamed. Now, there are two ways to look at this, Cam. There's one, I'm throwing the tape away, man. Like, I'm not even looking at this guy. He's getting bodied. He's trash. And I've seen people say that because they don't take into account. There's no context thrown in there. Like, this guy's 239 pounds going against 310 pounders back to back. I look at Cam this the second way. This guy's battle tested. If you ask him to go do that, he's a guy that's coachable. He's a guy that's willing to just do whatever the coach wants him to do. He's willing to go out there and put his body on the line for his team. To have a 239 pounder going against double teams, taking on that much punishment and not ever complaining about it, not getting dismissed from his school, not getting suspended, like you said, leading the Big 12 in sacks at one point during the season. I mean, that's what I know. What I want,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and Jake, also too, I just want to put a pause in there. You mentioned 239 pounders going to the trenches and actually playing D tackle. That I'm trying to figure out how to explain that to people, like how daunting that could be. It's similar to, for an example, I'll keep it simple, right? For someone learning how to swim, okay, start in the kiddie pool and then work their way to the deep end. That's like being in standing height water. So you're on the edge of 239. I'm comfortable. I'm at my neck, you know, it's like 5 to 6 feet, not too crazy. Going in to play defensive tackle at that weight, you're jumping into the ocean at that point, Jake. No floating, no nothing. It's like, hey, I can't even see the bottom of this thing. It's going to get real. And a lot of times when guys are 239, they get thrown out of the club if they're playing that position. You know, someone who can do that really well and swim in the shallow end and the deep end is Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald can go in the shallow end at the defensive end spot and crush people. And then he can also go into the deep end, no floating, no nothing, dive, touch the bottom of the ocean, and come back up, right? That's how good he is. And so hopefully that made sense for some people, but it's just a different ball game. It's not easy, you know, rushing the passer on the outside, stopping the run, and then going against 200-300 pounders every snap. It's a lot to take on. And like you said, shout out to him for being willing to put his body through the line, because we did see last year, we talked about DeMar Hamlin and, you know, how dangerous this sport can be. If you're swimming in the ocean, Jake, you can't see the bottom. That's dangerous. So the fact that he's putting himself in that situation,
stuff, you know,
there you go. It's a lot.
I mean, hey, playing in the trenches is compared to a riptide, right? I kind of look at it like it's like, I mean, I've never done it, right? But 239 pounder against 200-310 pounders. I mean, the resistance and the force, I guess, behind that has to be like trying to squat with somebody pushing you while you're trying to squat.
Yeah.
That's insane to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think, you know, the numbers are still really good considering the poor position he was put in. I still think he's good against the run. I know there are people like, no, he's a good run defender. And he showed that on the edge, the bend I love. And another thing, he's got the Von Miller being able to run underneath a table. Yep. You know, I love that. Yep. I love that. So his drill work at the combine, I went and rewatched it. He did the run under the table moment. He didn't have to.
Yeah,
he got creative with the bags, and I thought that was really cool in the drill. And then watching him do the DB drills, this guy looks like a freaking natural, Cam.
Yeah,
like you could put him at like inside linebacker, and honestly, you could put him at corner, and he wouldn't complain. Like he just clearly is a football player.
Yeah,
he'll go on the field and he'll play whatever. And that's the type of guy I want on my football team.
Yeah, and to be honest, I'm thinking about it. You know, I didn't have a chance to watch his tape, but the fact that he's doing DB drills, that's what Aaron Donald does. Like, I've seen Aaron Donald. We're doing special teams drills. We're doing the ladder. I think Aaron Donald was on NFL social media for doing his ladder footwork, you know, that he always does. But if you get other guys that can match Aaron Donald in a practice through the foot ladder, he's going to like that. We talked about it before. Happy wife, happy life, happy Aaron Donald, happy Rams defense. And so if you get athletic people who can match Aaron Donald, foot speed, coverage skill, whatever, if the guy can drop back in a pass and cause some havoc, like he's that much more valuable for your team. And Aaron Donald can play multiple positions. It sounds like he can play multiple positions. So, hey, let's sign him up.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely not going to get a mean, rude text or a, you know, one of those cryptic tweets from Aaron Donald if they go out and they get Will McDonald. I can tell you that much. I think he'll be very happy. We'll get to Isaiah McGuire next because I have him at 77. But I want to turn your attention at 69 overall. Again, we're just drafting edge defenders. So if you're just, You know, you're skipping around. First off, shame on you. But second, you know, we're doing edge defenders, so it is going to be the weirdest draft ever. Maybe one would argue that they should do this and draft 11 edge defenders. I don't know. Probably not. But someone out there is probably saying it. I know with the offensive line, they're saying it. So right now, just talking about edge, drafting one each round. What makes sense in the third round? There were some guys that I thought of, but this guy, Byron Young, Tennessee. Yeah. Okay. His story, he's like the edge version of Kurt Warner. Now, I had Kurt Warner on my show. I'm not trying to diminish Kurt Warner, but Cam, I don't know if you know this guy's story. You're going to love it if you don't.
Yeah.
Assistant manager at Dollar General.
Yeah.
He goes JUCO, and it's during the COVID season, and someone just happens to be taking video. And like, cause they were practicing, they weren't playing games. They just practiced, and his practice went viral. All these SEC schools reach out to him. He picks the first one that reached out to him, Tennessee. He goes to Tennessee. He's a baller. He'll be in the NFL. He's 25. That's the big knock on him, right? And he's 25, but still needs to refine things because he hasn't been playing that long, to be fair. But first off, the journey speaks volumes.
Yeah.
It tells me, one, this guy, there's no boundary where this guy's going to go. Yeah. There's no blockade that he's not going to run through. And so that is something where I'm talking about coachability. I'm talking about work ethic, the motor, which you see on tape. It's all there with this guy and Byron Young. He's got the best first step in the draft. I mean, he is so explosive. It is crazy. He doesn't have a lot of bend, and I'm not obsessed with bend. I know there are people that are like, oh, no bend, I'm not drafting, but you can still find guys that can work with their power. He doesn't have a ton of power though. He's more of a speed guy and just makes it work. So he does need to get better with his hand usage because of that, because you don't want to be too one dimensional. He, like I mentioned, really high motor, and then he's very good run defender. So the stats, like I mentioned earlier for Will McDonald, I have them in front of me for Byron Young via PFF. 13.2 pass rush win rate, which is really good considering he doesn't really have much power to him. He's a speed rusher without really much hand usage, and his pass rush plan is all right. You know what I mean? So that's still pretty good, you know, 13.2. And then his run stop rate is among the absolute best in college football at 18.8%. We just talked about Will McDonald at 5.6. And I told you that's not a bad number, considering he was played out of position. 18.8 is ridiculous.
That's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he put some respect on this guy's name.
Yeah. No, I feel that. And, you know, it's funny because I saw your list come through and I was like, okay, let me rearrange mine a little bit. But, you know, with Byron, like you talked about his journey. No matter what happens, he's able to move forward. And I think the Rams, we need that, right? After last season, we need players, like, no matter what adversity hits, they're able to move forward. So I think that's extremely important. But the second thing, going back to the captain piece, I mean, my man is, you're right, assistant manager at Dollar General. Then he goes and, you know, and then he goes and works at a Circle K. And then he fast forward, goes to Georgia Military Academy, and then goes to Tennessee. So what I'm seeing is he's a leader. No matter if he's at the Dollar General, no matter if he's at a Circle K, no matter the arena, he's a leader. And the Rams need exactly that, Jake. So I'm not even talking about his gameplay. I'm talking about what he's doing off the field. And so I think that's extremely important. And back to your point about the bendability for his actual play. He is more straight line. He's more of that old school player. You know, I could have seen him playing back in the day where, you know, they're just running, they're bull rushing a couple moves, one or two, three moves, and then they're getting the sack. He's been successful in the sack game, about seven sacks his senior year. One thing that I'm not worried about, though, is his toolkit, because he's going to see Aaron Donald, right? Anybody who's going to the Rams, they're going to see the best pass rusher, I don't want to say ever to do it, but, you know, top three. Okay, there you go. You said it. Pass rusher ever to do it. I know Von Miller, they do like a pass rush camp in the offseason. I think Aaron Donald goes to that as well. Aaron Donald's getting more knowledge from Von Miller and from those folks that are doing that pass rush camp, and even if he's doing his own pass rush camp. But players who aren't as dynamic and don't have those tools in their belt, they're going to learn it, right? They're going to learn it through osmosis.
You're going to see that jump chop, man.
Exactly, the jump chop. And that's something that Robert Quinn actually taught Aaron Donald, right? And so I think no matter – I think if these guys have the skill, if they have the will, if they have the leadership capabilities and the intangible things off the field, Aaron's going to teach them. I'm not even worried. Aaron's going to teach them. So I do see Byron as become more dimensional, right? Once he comes to the NFL, I want to see him expand his game with Aaron. That'll be great. But I do see him as an old school player. Like you said, stopping the run, that's extremely important because that means Aaron Donald can eat. If Byron stops the run, that means Aaron Donald's coming from the other side. So that's always a win-win. One thing I would like to see, though, like you said, is the bend. He might not have it in his game, but whether it's yoga, whether it's, you know, Pilates, figuring out.
Can we unlock it?
You unlock it. There you go. You unlock it.
I mean, yeah, no, I get that, man. I think, you know, and that's the thing, though, is like there are some things to his game. Like he needs to improve. He doesn't have a giant toolbox, which if he goes to the Rams, I'm not going to be worried.
Yeah.
Because, you know, guys like Morgan Fox, you know, they take off, they go somewhere else, and like he's still making things happen.
Yeah,
you know,
Sebastian, for the Chargers. Joseph Day, same thing.
Yeah. You stay around Aaron Donald and he's like a sponge. You know what I mean? Like it's just, you know, so I mean, yeah, I think when you look at him, obviously he's not going in the first round. And even first rounders have things they need to work on. Every prospect does.
Yeah.
But being 25, I can't stress enough, does not bother me in the slightest. If you care about age, then tell me right now, do you wish that the Rams didn't draft Cooper Kupp because he's on the older side? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I look at it.
And also, too, going back to our last podcast, right, we talked about the Rams being successful in the draft. Like, that's the goal. We talked about a 4 to 5 year contract, and we need these draft picks to be successful and to be around.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I sent you a meme from the Jets. I think it was Robert Saleh and his GM and how they approach the draft and how every time they win with their picks. And I was like, the Rams need to match that same energy, right? And like, even if this young man is 25 years old, he's going to last through that contract. And if he lasts through that contract and he's still around in 2 to 3 years, that means he was a successful pick. And that's the goal here. If the guy's 25, he can play until he's 35, you know, and he can call it a day. But for right now, he's ready to go. If he's 25, that means he's more mature. He was a captain on the team that he got to within 2 years. So that's what the Rams need right now. We need guys that are ready. We don't need guys who aren't. Yeah. Jake, we don't need guys who aren't ready. We need guys that we talked about it. We need guys that can, once they get drafted, their jerseys sell out because the Rams fans are buying it. The Rams fans are showing up in those seats, and we're going to see him stop those runs and sack the quarterback. He's a little bit older, which is great because he doesn't have to, the off-the-field stuff. You know, we don't have to worry about that because the guy has clearly worked, right, prior to going to football, and he knows what the value of not playing football. He knows what that is. And so he's going to grind that much harder on the field. So I think the things he brings to the Rams are invaluable, and sign him up.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the actor John Hamm, he almost gave up acting at age 36.
There you go.
I mean, hey, you know, that's, I can't stress that enough. Like, yes, age eventually does matter, right? Because you get old and then you can't play football anymore.
Right.
But 25 is still in your prime.
That's prime.
So at the very freaking least, like you said, you can get through a 4-year deal or a 5-year, whatever. You can get through that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm all for it. I will say though, it's funny because I think the league is going to value Isaiah McGuire less than we value him. So that was my explanation for why I took Byron Young before him. Because I have, as you saw my grades, I have a higher grade on McGuire. And that's my next pick at 77. So we could talk about that, but who is your next pick at 77?
Yeah, so my next pick at 77, I'm going to say this right, is Tuli Tupelotu.
Tua Tagovailoa, yes.
Tua Tagovailoa. So, okay, is you a USC guy? I believe he led the Pac-12 in sacks. Had 13 sacks. Pac-12 he's the player of the year. Like, come on. I mean, he's
playing all over the place.
Like, Jake, you can't beat that, right? And so the fact that he's doing that at USC, he's putting up numbers at USC, is insane by itself. Number two, Los Angeles is the Rams are down the street, so he's not going far. So we talk about this. We talk about season ticket holders, right? I'm sure the season ticket holders for the Rams are probably eyeing USC Trojans or eyeing the UCLA Bruins, probably going to some of those games. Oh, let's check some of these guys out. Maybe they'll be good for the Rams. Here you go. You got Tuli right there in the mix. So he's down the street. I do believe he's Samoan. I know he throws this up every time he makes a big play. And so California is known for that culture. So that's that many more seats that are going to be filled in the Rams Stadium just because of this person's background and where he came from. And so I think that's a win in itself. Not even putting in his stats, right? I mean, man had 13 sacks. Like, come on. Most of these guys are averaging about 7 sacks. This guy had 13. So you can tell he has a knack for the football. He's a knack for the quarterback. And that's what we need. We need people who are disrupting the offensive line and are forcing the quarterback to go to Aaron Donald. Like, that's the game plan. Yeah. Make the quarterback go that way so he can go to Aaron. I think, you know, that's probably the theme of kind of what I've been saying most of the day. But that's the point of getting an edge rusher. That's the point of getting someone who can hold that down, is making sure that – the thing about this, Jake, think about Draymond Green. Draymond Green knows – play defense and get Steph Curry the ball back. That's it, right? So Steph Curry, like, Draymond doesn't really shoot anymore. I saw something, Draymond Green, his G League tape, he was shooting threes. I mean, he was knocking buckets down. But when you have the best player to shoot the ball ever, why would you shoot it? you do everything that you do everything in the game to make it easier for them. And I see this for Aaron Donald, right? If you have the best player ever to play defense, like, let's make sure that you get some Draymond Greens to play their role, do their role, and funnel the ball to the best ever. So that's what I see happening with Tuli. And, you know, like I said, the fact that he's an LA guy, that increases the value, I think, for him. And that's who I have next for my pick. So I know we want to talk about Isaiah, but that I like Tuli for my next one.
I like Tuli as well. I wanted to like him more on tape. I think really, Cam, my biggest concern is his tackling ability. I see a lot, like, he does not have vice grips. He's a guy, he can get in the backfield, and that's one thing where maybe his tackling issues, that's more, I mean, it's not nitpicking. It's something that bothers me on tape, but it's something like where you get to the NFL and it's like Donald is there and you get, you know, the gang tackles are there. But it's still concerning, you know, from an evaluation standpoint, when, you know, I don't have any worry about him deconstructing blocks. I don't have any worry about him getting in that backfield and, you know, just stopping the running back in his tracks. I have an issue with him finish the tackle.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal. So we talked about finishing all last season. Yeah. You got to have people that can finish.
It's weird, though, because when he's sacking the quarterback, he doesn't have an issue with that. But, like, when he's trying to stop the run, he does have an issue with that. So I don't know if he's a bad run defender, because I wouldn't say that, because he's in position. He just needs to work on, you know, his tackling. And I think NFL coaching will definitely help him out there.
Yeah.
You know, but did you have any final thoughts on Tuli?
Yeah, I think when it comes to tackling, that's running. Tackling and blocking is the hardest thing to do in football. And so, like you said, it's an issue. It's going to be an issue for a lot of other coaches, Jake, because when you think about it, not every game you're going to have Aaron Donald come and help clean stuff up for you. You know, when you're in the playoffs and you're playing against some real running backs and some real guys, you're going to be counted on to make those plays. I kind of go to the Tyreek Hill and Ray Lewis piece when they're at the Pro Bowl. And they're like, he told Ray, he said, it's me versus you, 3rd-and-1. Would you tackle me? And, of course, Tyreek Hill's a slot guy and Ray's an inside linebacker. So you think more of the nickel or like an outside linebacker will kind of be in that situation, but you just never know. With Tuli, when it comes to defensive linemen, sometimes they drop back in coverage, or sometimes they, you know, are in open space. Can you count on that person to make the play in the playoffs versus, you know, the 49 or whoever it is, not the 49ers, but in big games, can you count on them? And that tackling issue is going to come up later on. So I agree with you. He's going to have to fix that when he gets to the NFL. A lot of times speed training helps with that, to make sure that you're not lunging. You're kind of like you're fast enough to where you're in position, your feet are under you, and you can make a solid tackle. So I think his speed training is going to really help with that. And I'm sure working out with Aaron Donald, he's going to work on his strength, right? His grip strength and everything's going to increase when it comes to that. So I think those are things that he can work on. But like you said, you cannot discount the fact that he's missing tackles, because we got to have people that can finish.
Facts. So now everybody's been waiting to hear about Isaiah McGuire. Because I mean, like you talked about him, but then I also have him at 77. First thing I had, it's funny. It's I told you, I warned you ahead of time. My notes are weird. Like it has to make sense for me. And so, you know, my first thing is underrated. It's the first thing I thought of. Yeah. Because why am I not hearing this guy's name? Why is he not a household name? Why is he not constantly like Good Morning Football is tweeting out stuff about him? Why is he not like a household name? Like, I want to know that. Like, it's, you know, and keep in mind, this is coming from somebody who is a Kansas Jayhawk fan. And I'm telling you how good this Mizzou guy is. That's supposedly sacrilege to my, you know, fan base, but I would disagree. And I'm probably one of the most unbiased people, although I do have a Jayhawk on there. But, you know, here's the thing, okay? With Isaiah McGuire, underrated. Like you mentioned, great build. He's got a great build for a 3-4 outside linebacker. I saw too many people saying, no, he's just going to play 4-3 defensive end. I feel like we're forgetting what an outside linebacker can be. I mean, let's be real here for just a second. Let's not rule out anybody. You know, when you look over at Michael Hoyt playing outside linebacker at the level he was playing at, if you have the athleticism, apparently you can now be 310 pounds and be an outside linebacker in a 3-4. We found that out last year. Yeah. I don't know how that works. I still don't understand. I need to know, like, there needs to be a scientist to explain it to me, because last year did not make any sense. But he wins with speed. He wins with power. He has the ability to convert speed to power, which is great. He's got one of the best motors you'll find at the position. He's explosive. You know, he's got great hand usage, which is something that I very much key in on, because if you don't know how to use your hands in college, you can be taught that. But the thing that made Aaron Donald so dynamic when he first came in the league was his hand usage, because he was like a ninja. He was just, he was destroying people, you know? And so that's one thing where, you know, you look at, say, Justin Fields, and okay, he can't read the field right now and he's struggling or whatever, but he can run, right? Okay, I don't have the biggest arsenal. I don't have a ton in my toolbox, but I can use my hands to the right way to create leverage, to, you know, get skinny in between two guys, or, you know, talking about, you know, contorting your body in different ways. Like, you know, that's one of those things, and that's what Isaiah McGuire has coming out of Mizzou. And dude, this guy deconstructs blocks like he makes it look easy, man. It's just, let me first say, it's not easy. It's not. And he makes it look easy.
Yeah.
So again, I don't know why we're not talking about him. He sets the edge well. He's great against the run. I have his numbers here per PFF. 17.2 pass rush win rate, which is crazy good for a guy I never hear talked about, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God. 17.2. That's better than anybody we've talked about so far. If I'm not mistaken, yes, it is. So 17.2. And then he's got an 8.3 run stop percentage. Now think about this, Cam. He's setting the edge. He's stopping the run more than Byron Young. So to a degree, Byron Young's 18.8%, while it's fantastic, it's also a little inflated, because I can tell you right now, Isaiah McGuire went against, you know, he was in those plays to stop the run. He had more of those opportunities, more reps than Byron Young. Still impressive. But McGuire's 8.3 is insane. And like you talked about in the SEC, right? So this is a guy, I said it in my most recent video on Edge. If the Rams double dip, if they get two edge defenders, I want Will McDonald and I want Isaiah McGuire on my football team, period. Yeah. Full stop. End of story.
Yeah.
If that happens, I will go crazy in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. You know, with Isaiah, you mentioned the hands, that being very important. I wanted to kind of, I love going to other sports to kind of relate a little bit. for folks who have ever trained boxing, you know, they always say, keep your hands up, right? Keep your hands up so you don't get hit. A lot of times when it comes to rushing the passer, when it gets late in the game as a defensive guy, sometimes the guys don't use their hands. Same thing in boxing. When you get tired, those hands drop, and that's when you see the knockouts. And so same thing for pass rushing. When, even for offensive linemen, if those hands aren't up, hands are down, knockout, or your quarterback gets sacked. It's the same concept. And so to see him be so good using his hands in college, he's light years ahead of other folks, right? A lot of times folks want to go with the bull rush or speed around, but you're seeing him shock people, shed them. You're seeing him, you know, jump, like all types of moves and toolkits. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's able to teach Aaron Donald something. You know, the way, that's how good he uses his hands. He's really good with them. And I'm sure Aaron will probably be like, oh, the way you use your hands, let me use that, you know? And so I think not only can he learn a lot from Aaron, but I think it can go both ways with him. I think that's how good he is. I watched his tape earlier. And I shut it off. I was like, I watched a couple. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm good. Number one. Like, that's why I put him number one on my list, because I saw the tape. I'm like, oh, this guy's a pro. He's a pro. The way he carries himself and seeing that captain on his shirt. Jake, I was a captain too playing football, so that's why I'm so adamant about it. But
that doesn't surprise me, by the way. does not surprise me at all.
Yeah. So, you know, it's very important. And so I want to double down on your point about Will McDonald and Isaiah McGuire. If those two guys are on the Rams defense, I mean, at this point, you know, with undrafted free agents on the back end, it doesn't matter. Those guys are getting interceptions. I think just to kind of let people know how important that is, when you have a dominant defensive line, that means everyone else behind you's life is easier. That means Matthew Stafford's life is easier. So I think I love that idea of double dipping and maybe getting two edge rushers. And Isaiah McGuire, I want him on my team. So I'll leave it at that. I know I want to jump into my other pick here. Did you have anything else on Isaiah at all?
I was just going to say, because I think you mentioned there was like people love comparisons. I don't like throwing them out unless I see it, right? Yeah. That's my rule. I don't make a comparison just to make one. You made kind of a comparison to Robert Quinn with Will McDonald IV. Mm-hmm. Byron Young, I don't have one. I'm not going to put one out there because I don't have one. Isaiah McGuire made me think of one player, Za'Darius Smith.
Mm-hmm.
That's... That, I mean, he's a damn good edge defender. He does both sides. He can rush the passer. He can stop the run, set the edge. He's bigger, you know, he's a bigger guy. I think it's like Za'Darius Smith. So if you're out there trying to paint a picture in your head, you haven't quite watched the film yet, you're just listening to us or watching us, Za'Darius Smith is kind of what I'm seeing here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. And also, too, one thing on Isaiah, you know, with him being where he is, I mean, I could see the way he's so good with his hands. I could see him moving inside too at some times, right? If they need to move inside a little bit, if Aaron wants to go outside, sure, let's switch. Like that's how confident I am, you know, with his hands. You talk about block deconstruction. If Aaron wants to go rush the passer and Isaiah wants to jump in and go battle some, you know, getting double, triple team, like I'm confident in that. And so I think, you know, and also too, I'm confident in that. I wouldn't say he's your Aaron Donald type guy that can carry the torch and kind of keep things going. But I do think with his skill set, even if Aaron Donald does decide to retire after next year, he's going to be able to teach guys like, look, my hands are fire. Like, you know, my pass rush game, my toolkit's fire. But like, yeah. But let me tell you what Aaron taught me. And I think he'll be able to share some of those things. So people call it putting on a clinic. I think Isaiah, when it comes to using his hands, he puts on a clinic similar to Aaron Donald. So, I really like that. And another name that I wanted to mention, I'm going into your state of Kansas here, but Kansas State, Felix Anudike Uzoma. Seeing him play 8.5 sacks, I think I put on his highlight tape. First play I saw was a jump club. The jump club, I'm like, ah, Aaron's going to love that. Aaron Donald's going to love that, right? Because I see Robert Quinn. I was literally in the locker room when Robert Quinn, like, he was doing the jump club. And Aaron Donald was like, what is that? And so I was there for that process. So to see that on the highlight tape, I know other people in that Rams locker room is going to get excited. So to see Felix play, to see his motor, I really liked it. So that's why I put him kind of at that pick for round three, 77th pick overall. I really liked his gameplay. And yeah, I mean, he's 6'4", 256. So, you know, a little bit on the lighter side, which is okay. That means you get more speed. You can drop him back in coverage.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you can move him inside too much, but I do like his makeup and I like his motor. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on Felix at all, but I would love to hear those.
Well, so I've been calling him King Felix and FAU because it's like, I mean, his name is crazy. Felix Anudike Uzama. It took me forever to learn that name.
Yeah.
So I got to tell you, this would change my mind on Isaiah McGuire. And I love Isaiah McGuire. So understand when I say that, I mean, I have him as a top 10 player. But you're talking about my fourth overall edge defender, Cam. So when I look at, you know, a guy like Felix Anudike Uzama, I look at him as the backup option for Will McDonald. Like, I don't even know if he's going to make it to the third round. If he does, that changes my whole, you know, my everything, really. Uh-huh. You know, mm-hmm. Like, I look at him like I think he'll be there at 36. And then if you don't pick him, he's probably going to go within 37 to like a 50 area. That's my concern. But if he's there, Cam, I'm all about him.
Oh, over right? Will.
I'm all about
over
him.
Will.
Not over Will, but backup. Yeah, as the backup. I know there are some people that are not as high on him, which I couldn't tell you as to why, but you know, I've heard, well, you know, and let's be honest here. Everyone has their own flavor. Like, there are people that really like BJ Ojulari out of LSU. He's younger. People get excited about that at 20 years old. Technically sound rusher. But he's really just not where you need to be as a run defender. And I feel like this team right now, yes, in a sense, they can take a little bit developing, but they also need guys to field a roster right now. They need guys to be able to set the edge. They need guys to have, I see his motor run hot and cold, like where, you know, when he's a pass rusher, this guy loves rushing the passer.
Yeah.
But when he's asked to defend the run, there's a certain play against, I think it was Mississippi State, and I almost turned off the film in disgust. And I don't mean to be that way, right? But Ojulari, like, they had him dead to rights. He had another guy coming in. And the running back, like, just somehow got through both of them. And Ojulari kind of pulled up. So, like, he had him easily. And Ojulari pulls up, and then he houses a touchdown. And I'm like, how is that okay? How is that possible? Like, that. And I'm not trying to let one play deter me from him, but you know, I haven't really been open to as to why, like, oh, you keep saying he's bad against the run. Like, what are you talking about? That one play in particular that shows me that his motor does run hot when he's rushing the passer and runs a little cold when he's asked to do the run defensive stuff. And he's 20. He needs to get into an NFL weight room too, and you know, get, you know, bulkier.
He needs some milk.
I mean, hey, you know, I like him. I mean, I need milk too, so I get it. But I like him, man, you know?
Yeah.
But my thing is, when you're talking about him and Will McDonald and Felix Anudike Uzama, you're talking about two guys that do everything you want for what the Rams need right now. And you have one guy who might be better than both of them when it's all said and done because he's 20. He's got a crazy high ceiling pass rusher wise, but I don't know how much better he's going to get as a run defender, because I think at the very least, if he improves, he's not going to be better than those two the way they're playing right now.
Yeah,
so that's how I look at it, you know?
And the way the Rams season went last year, we can't afford hot and cold, Jake. Last season was more cold than hot. So we need somebody who is consistent, who is ready to go right now. And like you said, my man BJ might need some milk. He might need to get in the weight room. And so, we always talk about Aaron Donald, but you know, Aaron's going to be lifted. He's going to make sure that folks are ready to go. But yeah, with BJ, I did have him a little bit lower on my list as well, because of that.
Oh, you have him on your list.
He's on my list. He's towards the bottom though, because of those reasons. Yeah. I do like his bend. He does have great bend.
He's
but
very bendy.
Very bendy. But in the run game, you can't be bendy in the run game. You got to be firm in the run game. So yeah, that'll be a problem.
My man just said bendy in the run game. Oh my God, Cam. I might start using that.
Yeah.
Like scouting report. He's bendy, but not the way you want him to be.
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, I mean, look, this guy definitely has talent, and, you know, we'll get to him, obviously, you know, because he's on your list. But, you know, I think when you look at Ojulari, one thing that blows up on tape is that when he's asked to drop into coverage, he looks like a DB. So to his credit, he moves extremely well in that regard. Just not something you see out of a guy like that. But moving on, round five, we're here. We're ready.
Yeah.
167 overall. And I'm going to go with my KU pass rusher, Lonnie Phelps.
Nice.
He transferred from Sean McVay's alma mater. You see, I'm like building this thing up.
Yeah.
So he played at, you know, Miami of Ohio. And he transfers. He goes to Kansas. Mind you, Kansas has won like one game in the last 2 years. And then he goes there, and instantly that defense is starting to show some fight. And, you know, he had 9 sacks in the Big 12. And on top of that, they went to a bowl game. You know, this is a guy that can rush the passer. He has one of the highest motors, I would say, out of any of the edge defenders in this class. He's a true 3-4 outside linebacker, I would say. Rotational pass rusher to start. You know, you're talking fifth round. So you're probably out of the woods as far as, you know, like as a fifth rounder, like, hey, we need you to start. Like the pressure's going to be off you a little bit. But he's got starting upside, which is a good thing. Another thing, he's got relentless pursuit to the quarterback. This guy does not give up on a play, which I love. He's a freak in that regard. He does need to improve his hand usage, though. You know, he tries to sometimes a win with power, a win with speed, but he's not using his hands enough. You know, he not really getting the extension. That's been kind of a knock on him. But he's willing to play the run. He's a decent run defender. He can improve in that regard. You know, I think when you look at him, he does need to improve as his pass rush plan. I'd like to see more in his toolbox. Of course, we're talking about the Rams, which is like a cheat code. You go to the Rams and you're going to learn all these moves from AD. But still something, you know, worth mentioning. And then I can't stress this enough. He dominated the Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you watched the Senior Bowl game, but any questions that people had of him, he answered throughout that week. I watched his one-on-ones. He really, I think, helped himself the most. Personally, I have a third-round grade on him. And if he went in the second, I think it would be worth the pick. But I have him in the fifth because I think that's where teams are going to value, like they're going to value him there. I think that there are some, you know, some quirks to Lonnie Phelps's game, but all in all, I think you're talking about a top 15 edge defender in this class and somebody that if you haven't addressed the position yet, you're in trouble. But if you have, then you get a, you double dip with this guy, then you're saying, Michael Hoyt, you are our guy. Lonnie Phelps, you are our guy down the road. Right. We're going to work with you. We're going to develop you. Right now, you're going to be a rotational pass rusher. Right. And I think that is probably the best case scenario for some of these guys in the round five section, round six. You want to get into a rotation. You want to make that 53. You want to get into a rotation. I think we've kind of, as a fan of this game, you know, the draft is exciting, right? It's a lot of recency bias. So you hear these people like where you're on day three and it's been kind of a long day, right? You're watching the draft and you get this guy who's got some intriguing upside on day three and you're like, this is awesome. He's going to start right. Bump the brakes. All right.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as you put him in the uniform and now all of a sudden you're getting the same player you saw on the tape. You have to think in terms of the drop off in competition. You have to think of in terms of the fact that this guy confidence issues that could arise, you know, being healthy. I mean, a lot of these guys, they go into the camp and they're healthy and then they get dinged up or something. And now all of a sudden they're rehabbing and they're not focusing on getting better. They're not working on themselves. That was my biggest issue with Cam Akers, is that Cam Akers, you know, when he tears his Achilles, it's not necessarily that he tore his Achilles, which obviously was awful, but it was the fact that he tears his Achilles and he misses the entire offseason to get better. like to improve on a good year, to work in pass pro. He now has to focus all of his attention on rehabbing. So that's really one of the big deterrents. But this is why I think it's important to realize, even to a degree, maybe we're jumping the gun a little bit with Isaiah. You know, maybe it might take him a little bit. We don't know how these guys are going to react when the bright lights are shining and you're playing at SoFi Stadium. But fifth round, Lonnie Phelps, big fan. And if they get him in the fifth round, that is a steal.
Yeah, no, I like that. And I know you're a Kansas guy, so you got to throw somebody from Kansas in there at some point.
Got to throw Love in there.
Got to throw a little Love. No, he's a baller. I'm biased, though. yeah, a little bit. All good. And going back to your point about some of the players, you know, adjusting to the NFL, you know, some of the guys that we listed, you know, when we saw the national championship game, those were SEC teams, you know. Of course, Ohio State was in there and whatnot. Ohio State can ball, but like the talent level a lot of times with the SEC, the Big 12, they're a little bit different, right? And so when you got
– yeah,
sometimes scouts like to lean towards guys from the SEC because they feel like they're battle-tested. They win a lot of national championships in the SEC, so, you know, they're ready to go. And so a lot of times you get guys from different conferences who haven't really seen – the big crowds, the type of competition, like you said, once they get to that stage, it's a little bit different. Or they were the man at their school, their college, and they get to the NFL and it's like, oh, snap. Like, I'm going against such and such. He's an old head, but he can do this, this, and this. And so that can be a factor, like you said. And kind of going back to BJ, that would be my pick for this round. With BJ, him being a young cat, That could be a little tough, you know, when it comes to the Rams. It's, you know, we want some young guys to come in and step in and play big ball. Being hot and cold in the NFL is not going to work, Jay. Being light in the pants, playing defensive line, and being hot and cold is not going to work, right? Because, you know, that opens players up for injury. And when you're young, yeah, if you're injured or if things don't go the way you think they should at that level, you know, who knows where they can end up. So I do like BJ at that pick. Like I said, he played at LSU, so that's big time ball. He's playing against, you know, your Floridas, your UGAs, your Alabamas. So I like that. And especially when it comes to the Rams, when it comes to this Rams fan base, having some folks from LSU, you know, I'm sure there's some LSU folks out here in LA. So he's going to fill up seats. Like I said, he has wiggle, and that's something that I haven't seen in a while. And anytime, like I said, I think of someone with Ben, I think of their Robert Quinn. So I do like the fact that he can do that. Stopping the run, that ain't going to work. Being bendy in the run, that ain't going to work. That kind of goes back to the bend don't break defense. And like, you know, this year we're going to have to figure out something a little bit different than that. So, you know, BJ a little too bendy in the run for me, Jake, but you know, he can make it happen in the pass rush game. Like you said, he can cover. Anytime you can get a guy that can go and cover and do multiple things, he brings more value to the squad. So I like BJ in that pick, and I do think our next pick is kind of similar. So I'm looking forward to speaking through that one. But I don't know if you have any other thoughts on BJ. Feel free to jump in.
Yeah, just one quick thing I want to throw out there, because if it seems like I'm crapping on this guy, this will make it feel a little bit better. He wore number 18 at LSU. If you don't know what that means, that's like the really prestigious number. That goes to like the best player, but also like the guy that's, you know, best off the field, the leader, so to speak. Tre'Davious White wore it, to be fair, like that, you know, those level guys, right? So he wouldn't like have been given that number if he wasn't like a hardworking guy. I'm not saying, like, when I say his motor runs hot and cold, I think people like often think they refer that as to laziness. It's not even just lazy. I mean, it could honestly be a little bit like you're pacing yourself. You just got to get better at pacing yourself. Like, you go all out for the pass rush and then the run game, you know, maybe you're a little winded, right? You know, maybe that's what that's, you know, so it's an opportunity maybe to catch your breath a little bit. I don't know. But I was not trying to like totally take a dump on him. I want people to know that. But that's my real next pick here, people are taking a dump on. Like, I've seen him block a lot of people on social media. Mm. And I'll say this right now. People are taking a dump on for blocking a lot of people on social media. I'll say, look, take out all the noise. This guy's been through a lot. His name is Brenton Cox Jr. from Florida. And he's been on my radar for quite a while. I think there is a way too early Jake Ellenbogen mock draft of the Rams that I made before the season. I had probably them picking at 32, which, you know, obviously they wouldn't have had the first over the first round pick because they traded it. But I had them winning the Super Bowl again.
Yeah.
And I had them not having many picks. And I think he was the first guy I took in the second round. So here's the thing with this guy, okay? Brenton Cox is a hell of a football player. And the problem is some guys kind of lose their way. Maybe they get into the wrong situations. I got to say, the dismissal, because he was dismissed from Florida, he was dismissed from Georgia. Okay.
Brutal. That's brutal.
it is brutal. But I got to say, though, like, it could absolutely be worse. Here's my thing. I actually did research into this. I was like, all right, let me see. I like the tape. Is this guy worth it?
Yeah.
Right? And I'm watching the tape, and he's definitely worth it on tape. But then I'm reading about it, and he gets caught with marijuana at Georgia, which I don't know who has whatever feelings about that. Personally, I don't really care. I think it's...
Everybody in college is like,
you know what I mean? Like,
So kind of push it to the side. Yeah.
The authoritarians out there will be like the boomers, if you will, out there will be like, oh, well, he doesn't listen to authority, you know, but like, come on now.
Yeah.
It's just like all these guys are doing it. Not saying all of them, but most of them are probably doing it and just not getting caught. Yeah. He just got caught. Yeah. Right. So he gets kicked off the team and they can say all they want. Oh, it wasn't that. No, it was probably that. That was probably what started it. Then at Florida, he gets into a fight with a former teammate at Georgia on the field.
Mm.
Now, he punches him, but I heard that there was some stuff that went on in the locker room, and I'm sure, but, you know, part of me feels like there's something going on here that's not entirely Brenton's fault. Mm. You know, and maybe there is, but all I know is, like, the Rams brought in Janoris Jenkins, who I think was at Florida, and then he had to transfer North Alabama or what, I forget what it was, but he had to transfer, and he had, people joked about it, he had a rap sheet this tall.
Yeah.
But what did he do when he got to the NFL? Never heard a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think when people have something they can strive for and they have their eye on the prize, they can really do great things. And I'm not judging Brenton at all. I think he's a really good player. I think it's very easy to either get in with the wrong crowd, to be put in a, you know, you ever get a job where you're like, this isn't a fit, you know, that he was in that position. And then he tried to go somewhere. Maybe he shouldn't have gone in the SEC. Maybe he should have gone, you know, a step down, maybe gone to like a McNeese State or something like that. And just tried to like, you know what? No distractions. I'm just going to ball. And okay, he's dismissed from both programs. But I'm not going to sit here and say that's the worst thing ever, because we have guys in the NFL. We have a guy in the NFL who punched a girl in the face on camera, who's starting.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, what you're saying is there's worse things. Let's not hold this too much against him. Let's figure out, like, let's evaluate the player on the field and go from there.
And like, I don't want to come off like I don't believe in second chances or anything, but I'm just saying, like, if we're this open to giving him a second chance, you know, I'm not naming his name, but you know who he is.
Yeah.
If we're that open and he's on our fantasy teams and we don't talk about that anymore, then why are we holding this against Brenton Cox, who hasn't even been in the NFL yet? Like, sure, things happen, but like, I've seen way worse.
Yeah.
Like if we're worried about marijuana, then we have some other issues. Like, I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and so, not everybody's perfect. I agree with you. I do agree in second chances. But from what we see on this football field, I know Jake, our podcast is rolling today. So I would love to end on him. I'm sure we can rattle off some other names as well. What I will say about Brent Cox, my man is nasty. When I turn on the film, he's nasty. He has edge. He's feisty. From my experience playing with Aaron, Aaron is feisty too. Now Aaron turns up on that football field. I've seen Aaron snap someone's face mask off before and do some damage. Like, Aaron's a beast. And so having someone else on that defensive line with fight, I think it's a win-win. It's always going to turn energy up. It's like the Draymond Green. If someone is always screaming at somebody, always doing something, teams need that edge. Teams need that. Now, my question is he a locker room cancer? I hope not, right? Just from hearing some of the things with coaches and whatnot, I don't want him to get into a Cam Akers situation where Sean McVay's like, hey, bro, like, you can't say that in here, or you can't do that here. You know, I don't want any of that. I don't think the team needs any of that. But what he does on the field, I think is outstanding. You know, just to see his physicality, and I think his emotions, they do show on the tape. I put in my notes here, like, I would say he reminded me of the Vontaze Burfict, because Vontaze is insane, out of his mind, you know, with some of the stuff he's done. But, you know, just the edge that Brenton plays with, some of the off-field issues that he has, I was like, oh, like, that's kind of like Vontaze. It's not remotely close, yeah. But just think of that edginess that Vontaze played with now. Like, Burfict, now, he was a beast. Of course, he hit some foul hits, things that you can get kicked out of, that you should get kicked out of the league for, which he did. But I think Brenton plays with that mentality, and I think any defensive coordinator would love to play with a guy that's just like, whoa, like, back the hell up. Like, let him go, and, like, I'm going to back up and let him do his thing on the football field, right? Like, he's going to be able to do things on the football field that he can't do in real life. Football players love that, but he's going to exercise all his anger and anything that he's going through off the field, on the field. So I like him as my last pick there. And Brenton, my thing is from an athlete to athlete, I hope he figures it out, you know, through this next step. I hope he gets the support he needs. I hope he gets the resources to then set him up for success in the future. Cause we hate to see, hey, count guys out like, oh, this guy is not good for the team. No, the man can play ball. I'm sure he can get better as a person, and let's kick ass. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, the film speaks for itself. And when you're a team like the Rams, where you're like, oh man, we only have 11 picks and we need to field this roster, look at this as an opportunity. You can get a second round talent who's going to fall because of this. If you can look at this as like, we are the we, not me, that can mold him, right? We got a locker room culture that maybe went off the rails a little bit last year, was tested, but we bounced back.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about it, right? The end of the last year, Sean McVay started to love football again, started to enjoy coaching. You know, you had the players like Michael Hoyt and Dakobe, you know, all those guys, they were starting to like really just enjoy the moment, and the locker room was somewhat fixed. Now, there's been a lot of guys that have left since, but I feel like they have to feel like they have a good foundation. They still have good pieces in there that can keep guys on the straight and narrow. Brenton Cox, to me, I think he's worth the gamble. You know, you have 3 5th round picks. This is the time to take him. I mean, that's my take.
Okay.
You know, I just think if you have 3 5th round picks, I don't see why it's so bad to take a guy who, yeah, he might not work out, but the guy is undeniable talent. I mean, he was my first pick for the Rams in my way too early draft, you know? And I mean, I have a day 2 grade on him, but I drafted him in this, you know, draft. I drafted him in the 5th round because I'm like, this is where he'll fall.
Yeah.
Maybe even lower. Maybe he goes undrafted.
Yeah.
That's this what Vontaze, is an opportunity.
Vontaze, he went undrafted because of his off the field issues. Yeah. And he might do the same thing. But if he doesn't go drafted, Jake, we need to pick him up. Work on his personality, work on that stuff later. But we need to pick him up for sure.
I mean, there's so many guys. Like, and look at it this way. Remember, like, Cam Newton stole a laptop at Florida. Okay. Got kicked off of Florida. He like changed everything about himself, went to Auburn and balled out. You know what I mean? He changed the game.
Yeah.
He became the number 1 overall pick. You can bounce back. It's not a career death sentence. I mean, he still needs to prove himself in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you might have, based on college, people would assume you were a head case and you were a red flag. Well, now the NFL, clean slate. As long as you get that chance, as long as you're in camp, the rest is up to you.
Yep.
If you start playing victim mentality, like, oh, they're out to get me. Well, hey, man, you kind of didn't do much, you know, with the help there. So now it's like maybe you're held to a little bit of a different standard. But don't go off the rails, you know? And I think that that raw talent, I think any coach that's willing to coach and not just judge will want to coach him.
Yep. Folks took a gamble on Randy Gregory. You know, I trained with Randy Gregory coming out. He had issues off the field, being on time, blah, blah, blah. But a great baller. You know, I'm not sure how things are panning out now for Randy, but he
got paid in Denver.
Got paid. And he's working it out. He, no one's perfect, but at the end of the day, give these guys chances. They worked hard for it. Figure out how to make it happen. Give them the support they need and kind of see where things are going. But yeah, Jake, I know we're getting close to time here, my man. And I know we have some other guys to go through. Did you want to rattle those guys off really quick? Or you want to save them for another pod? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking we'll rattle them off real quick.
Yeah.
Don't have to get too much into them. Do you have any guys left over?
That's me. I'm good.
Okay, you're good. So. Yeah. I love that we both had Brenton Cox at the same spot. Yeah. Like, what are the odds, man? I guess you had the same thought process as I did. But Nick Hampton out of Appalachian State. I'm now saying Appalachian because I had the Appalachian, you know, cancel people came at me. It was like, you need to pronounce it the right way. And I was like, all right, fine.
Okay.
I won't give your school any more love, I guess. No, I kid. But Nick Hampton, just a high motor guy, really athletic. He's a combo. You can have an off-ball linebacker. You can have an edge. He's typically going to be an edge for me. Mm-hmm. So I had him going 177. And then 182, Habakkuk Baldonado. We're getting a Pittsburgh pass rusher for Aaron Donald here. And this guy goes from Italy. He finds a host family in the United States so he can chase his dream. This is somebody who you're watching this right now on YouTube. He was learning how to play learning how to be a football player on YouTube. He was watching people rush the passer on YouTube. That's what got him to this point.
Like Joel Embiid.
Look at Baldonado.
Joel Embiid. Yeah.
From Cameroon. He just was like, yeah, I just watched Hakeem Olajuwon.
There you go.
He had like a DVD or something on it. Yeah, it's crazy because he went to Kansas. Yeah. So Baldonado, he needs to improve as a run defender. He's got the jump chop that Aaron Donald has.
Yeah.
Like he's got that already. Yeah. So I'm sure Aaron Donald taught him when he went to, you know, to visit.
That's
but
right.
Underrated athlete, tested well. And he's going to take a little bit, like he's a little raw, but like you're getting him in the sixth round. He's from Italy, which is cool in itself. And I liked him a lot more than I expected to. I thought he was very underrated. And then 189 in round six, I have Iku Leota from Auburn. And when I look at Leota, you know, he looks the part of a 3-4. Outside linebacker, physical. He's tough. He sheds blocks well. He's got good contact balance. So if he, somebody tries to redirect him, he's able to stay on his feet, still get to the quarterback. He's got that second gear to chase down, get those chase down sacks. He needs to improve in the run game, but you're talking about a sixth rounder here. Could fight for a spot in the rotation. I like him. Isaiah Land out of Florida A&M is my last pick in the sixth round. I look at him at 191, great athlete. He doesn't have the length that you look for, but he does fit the 3-4 outside linebacker. He's not very strong. Like this is a guy that's going to need some help, you know. Rams training staff, one of the best in the league, if not the best. So I think they'll help him out there. He'll need time to develop. You get a guy like that to kind of redshirt, I think, a year, you know, probably a practice squad guy. Dominated 2021, Cam. He had 19 sacks. That's production.
Yeah.
That's production right
there. Sign him up.
So, technically sound pass rusher. He was better than I expected. He's got good bend. We talk about Benny. Not Benny in the run game, though.
Yeah.
But the reason is because he gets obliterated in the run game. He is not very big, so he just gets knocked completely out of the bar. He gets thrown out of the Bel Air Castle like he's Jazz.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's not good.
But you're getting him late sixth rounder, your last sixth round pick, a 3. So it's a very low floor practice squad. But I think it's a decently high ceiling because he's already so far ahead as a pass rusher. Then next I have round 7, 230, 223. I have Thomas Inkoom from Central Michigan. This is a guy that I think who could develop into a key contributing 3-4 outside linebacker. Strong upper half. He's got good balance, good first step, good sack production. He's inconsistent with his technique as a rusher and run defender. So this is a developmental selection, and that's okay. Pretty much all you could ask for in the seventh. And then the last guy here is Tavius Robinson out of Ole Miss, 251st overall. He's got great traits. You talk about a guy, this is exactly what you want your team to do with the last pick in their draft. Mm-hmm. Great traits, great blend of size and toughness, can play the run, can rush the passer. He's got bend, disruptive athlete, lengthy. He needs to grow into his frame, but he's got a wicked high ceiling, like wicked high. I don't know if he'll ever hit it, but he's got a wicked high ceiling and a wicked low floor. Mm-hmm. He's a developmental guy who can become a starter with proper coaching. Yeah. If you get that guy at the end of the seventh round and he does become somebody like that, we can't rule it out. Nick Scott, Sebastian Joseph Day, Jordan Fuller in the sixth round.
Yeah.
Those are the type of guys that I want my team to draft.
Yeah. And I like that, Jake. And two, just quick disclaimer. I know our pod this time has gone a little long. That's okay, because we're talking about our future here. And one thing I want to shout out, you know, that the people may not know is Jake puts a lot of time into scouting these prospects. A lot of major Excel sheets right before this call. Like, we're going through the Excel sheets. We're trying to figure out, you know, which guy is which. So Jake, I just want to say thank you, you know, for really taking the time to do this. And, you know, I don't think people know how much time you put into this draft stuff. Can you tell people like what your prep is like for stuff like this before we hop off the pod?
Oh, man. Well, first off, appreciate you, Cam. Yeah. Appreciate your appreciation of me. But yeah, it takes a long time, like way too long. Like, it's, you know, hey, I should probably go to bed. No, I'm going to be up until 4 a.m. watching tape, you know, because how else am I going to do it? I think it's one of the most interesting things about my job, so to speak, because, you know, when you're watching NFL film, it's like you can watch that throughout the year, but it's only from September to January, February. So it's not hard to follow that, right? Mm-hmm. When you're watching draft film, you got to watch, in my opinion, to do a really good job as a content creator, an NFL content creator, and teach people or have some sort of authority, be it somewhat of an authoritative figure. To me, you have to at least watch about 15 to 20 prospects at each position, at least for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying everyone else, but me personally, I feel like I have to do that. Mm-hmm. And so this year I decided to make those YouTube shorts and I did all of the 1-minute scouting reports, and it's making the process take forever. Do I regret it? Yes, I do actually regret it, but I also still like that I'm doing it. And it's generated a lot of views and a lot of subscribers. That one Jahmyr Gibbs video, I had no, like, I love Jahmyr Gibbs. He's my favorite running back in the draft out of Alabama. Looked at the other day, 24,000 views on that one-minute short.
There you go. Hey, check my guy Jake out, man. If y'all want to figure out other positions in the draft, Jake is creating shorts. He's making it happen. So follow his page. Check him out. The draft is in about 3 weeks from now, so the end of the month. So we're going to be covering some of these draft prospects. Of course, I'm going to be leaning on Jake for information and understanding, okay, hey, what are we talking about here? You know, what are we doing in regards to the draft prospects? I know we covered defensive ends today, and I'm sure next week we'll cover another position group, and we're going to rely on Jake's, you know, research and the hard work that he puts in. So, yeah, Jake, I think myself and the Ramley, right, we appreciate your work and what you do. Because this draft is extremely important, and we're going to need the Rams to hit on every draft pick this year. And they're going to hit because they got Jake's research and Jake's content. So, Jake, we appreciate you big time.
Well, I appreciate you, Cam. I was told from one, I'll keep his name, off the record, but I was told from one guy who scouts for the Rams at the Senior Bowl, I'll never forget, he's like, yeah, we follow all your stuff. We've read your articles. We see you. There I was you like, man, that made me feel so good in that moment. It's not like it would have changed my work ethic or anything, but it's cool to know that, yes, like for people asking, yes, the Rams do watch this. It may not be Les Snead himself or Sean McVay, but we have scouts that watch this.
Yeah.
Hello, yeah. Scouts. Hey there.
Feel free to drop your questions in, Scouts. If you want to hear us talk about something, if you need some tips or tricks, we're your eyes and ears.
DM's open.
Yeah, most
definitely. We can get the voice changer, like the, you know, the black background, and have them come on for an interview.
There you go. We're cooking with grease. One day.
Yeah, we're cooking with grease.
Soon to come. Soon to come.
So that is going to do it. And wow, this has been our longest show so far, but it's been a banger, man. I like this format. Yeah. I hope we get to do this cornerbacks. I think next week we should probably try to do. That would be fun. So yes, I like this format. If you guys liked it, be sure to drop a comment. Let us know how much you liked it. If you also like this, be sure to hit the thumbs up, also known as the like button. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Mm-hmm. Be sure to tell somebody. Be sure to go and rate on any of your podcast platforms if you're listening to this. We could use some 5-star reviews there. We need to get that thing up.
Yeah.
But aside from that, you know, thank you to our sponsors, betonline.ag, and we're out of here.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. You guys have a great weekend.